This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered. For just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about quinoa.
We do. And I just want to say, sometimes when we do these intros, Laura knows I always point at myself like, this is who I am. I almost forgot my name. So if it sounded like I was stumbling a bit, I was like, oh my God, what's the name? What? It's like that episode of SpongeBob where he becomes only a waiter and he forgets his name. Uh-huh. And the guy's like, what's your name, great waiter? And it goes into his brain and they're like, what's the name? It's all these little SpongeBobs to exemplify the brain and everything catches on fire. That's what essentially just happened to me. But it's all okay.
It is all okay. I know that it can be, you know, sometimes switching from your Sminty, your stuff mom never told you intro to your Savor intro can trip you up a little bit.
Yes.
So
it's amazing. I stopped writing out because I write out that line every time, even though I should know it, the entry, the opening line. I used to write out my name because I would have that struggle, but I thought I'd passed it. Apparently, I haven't.
Apparently not. That's fine.
Yeah.
And full disclosure, like Annie is not alone in this. I when I do that outro spiel, y'all, mm-hmm. like I have to do it like with my eyes closed. Frequently, I forget what order it goes in. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I say it the way that I say it in brain stuff. I forget our producers' names all the time.
Thank goodness for our producers, because they make us sound like we don't do those things.
I know. Yes. Oh, my goodness. I for serious, our producers are the best human people on the entire planet. And also, they make us sound good.
Yes. But yeah, quinoa.
Quinoa.
Quinoa. I do love quinoa. Mm-hmm. I recently just had some and it was so good. I love the like crunch, the texture of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I used to make this stuffed baked acorn squash with goat cheese, cranberries, and quinoa, and it was so good.
Wow.
It was like full. Oh. And yeah, I used to make pretty good quinoa burgers and those were delicious. I say used to make because I don't make quinoa that often anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to use it all the time.
Often. Yeah, yeah, me too. I went through a pretty big, like, kind of, yeah, yeah, just like grain bowl phase. Mm-hmm. And, oh gosh, yes, there's some cheese in there, maybe some arugula. Oof.
Ooh. Oof. Yes. Oof, we
right.
say.
Squash or root vegetables. I don't know. Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I believe several people have requested this one. For some reason, both Lauren and I thought we had already done it. But
yep.
I think it's because we started an outline like 2 years ago and then
oh,
never did it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because okay. I eventually deleted it. It felt like when you have something on your board, like wishpiration or whatever that's called, where you keep telling yourself, like, one day I'm going to do this. It felt like that because okay. it had been years, so I deleted it.
Finally. Yeah, yeah. Well, there. Okay, that explains it. I know that I've talked about it on other shows as well. So I'm not sure, but no. I had to I looked in our giant document of everything we've ever done, and mm-hmm. I still wasn't convinced that I just hadn't recorded it in that giant document. So I was like on Apple Podcasts, going like, really.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the dangers of being a long-running show is mm-hmm. sometimes you can't keep track of those things. It would be hilarious if a long-lost episode came out and we were both, oh, yeah.
And I'm like, ah. Oh,
we did do it.
Weird.
And then we could compare them. Okay. Well, I guess that should bring us to our question.
Mm-hmm.
Quinoa. What is it?
Well, quinoa is a type of seed that's often used as a grain because when cooked, it resembles broken rice or like a small form pasta like couscous in size and shape and texture and color, kinda, with maybe just a little bit more of a nutty and or bitter flavor profile than like a wheat pasta or a white rice would have. So yeah, quinoa is a grass-adjacent type of plant that will put off these tiny, dry, papery fruits that each contain a single, relatively large seed. So the fruit, which is basically a hull at that point, is removed, and what we get in the store is just the seeds. These little flattish circles, pretty tiny, creamy white to yellow to red to black in color, with a darker thread usually wrapped around the circumference. And that darker thread is a wee little embryo of potential root and potential leaves. You can germinate uncooked quinoa to see this potential little plant bit in action if you want to. You could just dampen the seeds, spread them out on a wet paper towel, loosely cover them in like a clear glass or plastic container until they start to sprout. Then, I mean, if you want to keep growing them, you can uncover them to give them sunlight.
That's so cool.
I know, right? I've never tried this, and now I really want to.
Me too.
Yeah. During processing, these seeds will be washed to remove some compounds that the plant has evolved to coat its seed with to prevent herbivores and microbes from eating them. They're called saponins or saponins. I didn't look up the pronunciation, so there. But yeah, they taste bitter and can cause a little bit of like digestive upset in humans. Potential leftover saponin compounds are why it is recommended that you rinse quinoa before cooking.
Oh.
The botanical name is Chenopodium quinoa. It's related to stuff like spinach, beets, and chard in a branch of the amaranth family. And yes, Chenopodium means goose foot. No, I'm not sure why. I don't know why that is.
Is goose foot a thing?
Goosefoot is the prior family name of all of these related plants that are now kind of reclassified as part of this larger group. There are many things I didn't take the time to look up today because I was busy reading like a lot of research papers, like more than the usual number of research papers, which is fabulous. Mm-hmm. But also at a certain juncture, I was kind of like, okay, that one's not for today. We're going to have to explore goose feet later.
Well, we're definitely going to have to explore goose feet later.
Yeah, yeah. Coming back to you in our upcoming shard episode.
Ooh, I would like to know more about shard, actually.
Right? Right? Goodness. Anyway, so plants in this family evolved to be pretty tolerant to both high salinity in the soil from, like, local waterways and also the possibility of drought, which means that they're really good for growing in areas where other plants do not like growing. And quinoa in particular is pretty sturdy and has been adapted for, like, a really impressive number of environments, from, like, sea level Chilean farms to the highlands of the Andes, valleys in between. It's really cool stuff. And yeah, these seeds are used for all kinds of things, as a side dish, plain or seasoned, as the starchy base of meals involving stews or sautés, in pilafs, as a mix-in in salads, both warm and cold, in soups. You can also, I didn't know this, you can pop quinoa the way that you would popcorn and use it to, like, make, like, a puffed grain kind of thing.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. And I kept seeing it in the research, and I was like, is this, you know, some kind of, it's popcorn, but it's really just, like, quinoa that's flavored like popcorn?
Nope.
But then I saw that, and I was like, oh, this could be a whole new world for me.
Yes. I really want to try doing this. I'm just curious. I need to know. Yeah. Okay, anyway. If you do sprout the seeds, the sprouts can be eaten as well, like you would, like, alfalfa sprouts or something like that. The seeds can also be ground into flour and used in baked goods, or in dumplings, steamed or fried, or to make noodles. Quinoa flour is often mixed with other flours, or will involve the careful use of leaveners, as it does not contain gluten, so it's not going to bake up quite the same way as, like, a wheat flour would. Quinoa is also traditionally used in drinks, either ground or macerated. I've only read about cold drinks, but anyone with experience here, please do write in.
Yes.
And the starches in quinoa can also be extracted and used as stabilizers and thickeners, and in not just food, in cosmetics and industrial applications, like for rubber mold release.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
How interesting. Going all over the place already.
Uh-huh.
Well, okay, what about the nutrition?
Right, because we are a food show. Quinoa is pretty good for you, as you have probably been told. Since it is a seed, it contains all of the nutrients that a growing plant would need to get started, which, hey, are similar to what a growing you needs just kind of every day. It's got good punches of protein and fiber and carbs, a bit of fat, a smattering of minerals and other micronutrients. And unlike many plants, quinoa seeds do contain all of the amino acids that our bodies, A, cannot make, but B, need in order to do stuff. So it is considered a complete protein. It's got a better balance, in fact, of amino acids than wheat, barley, or soy. Has more fat than corn, less than soy, if you're comparing. Overall, quinoa will help fill you up and keep you going. Pair with a bit of fat and a vegetable to, like, fill a meal out. Quinoa seeds do not contain gluten molecules, which helped give it a boost of popularity in the U.S. in the, late 20-aughts, early 20-teens.
Right. Yeah, this reminds me of that line from The Matrix where they're eating that, like, synthetic stuff.
Oh,
wow. And he's like, everything the body needs. Synthetic amino acids, vitamins, and minerals. Quinoa.
Quinoa.
That's what they needed.
Oh, so chewy and delicious. That stuff looked like slop.
It did. I don't know why I got mad about it. No, thank you. We do have some numbers for you.
Oof, we do.
Yeah. Peru and Bolivia are the leading producers of quinoa, accounting for about 80%.
Production in those two countries rose by 300% between 1980 and 2011. Ecuador is also a major producer, and then the United States and China. But yeah, like 80% Peru and Bolivia.
Yeah. But the rise in demand for quinoa has recently led to over 70 countries to try their hand at producing it.
Yeah, at least 95 as of 2015, 2016. And this was a real rapid increase. There were 8 countries growing it in 1980, 40 by 2010, and 75 by 2014. And then, yeah, up to 95 as of 2015. So,
wow. quinoa prices surged by 202% from 2011 to 2015. And from 2012 to 2017, the value of quinoa exported from Peru jumped from $34.5 million to $124 million.
Oof.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. So a lot of growth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. An estimated 53% of Bolivia's quinoa exports go to the United States. At the same time, Bolivian consumption of quinoa increased 3 times over from 2009 to 2013, and from 2003 to 2012, export sales shot up from $3.1 million to $75 million for that country. From 2008 to 2010, prices tripled and then doubled again by 2013.
Oof.
Yeah, and demand increased 18 times from 2004 to 2014. 18 times.
That's wild.
Yeah, yeah. In Peru, quinoa consumption per person was about 4.9 kilograms in 2012, down from 6.07 in 2004. Some attribute that to the rise in price, that people couldn't afford it. Although, usually in these same papers, they also point out that in some areas of Peru, the consumption rate actually did go up.
Yeah, it's a pretty complicated issue, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. And yeah, it is super fascinating. And not to sound callous about it, but quinoa is such an interesting case study in terms of like a locally grown and consumed product that very suddenly received a very large amount of attention on the global stage.
Yeah.
And so that's part of why, yeah, like sometimes pulling together outlines for these episodes is real scrappy because <Yeah. laughs> just like not a lot has been written about some of these things. And you know, we're not researchers, you know, like we're not out there doing like original first source research. So, so right. It's a wonderful boon when people have written these beautiful in-depth scientific papers about stuff, but it usually means that something has gone terribly wrong. If someone is writing those kind of papers, it means like, oh man, you got interesting, and getting interesting is not necessarily pleasant for everybody involved in a production production chain. So
yeah, and especially so quickly. It's the interesting, the forces at play in this one, which we will get into in our history section.
Yes, but first we are going to get into a quick break for a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico. We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks, but I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things.
Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino food ways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this.
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
So, quinoa is believed to have originated and been first domesticated in the Andes, where it has been growing over 5,000 years. And some experts believe humans have been selecting quinoa for 15,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
The Inca called it mother grain. And they and others with access to quinoa use the grains and season all kinds of foods and drinks. And yes, this was a pretty like regional, localized history in these early times where just in this area, that's where the quinoa was. One source recounted an Andean folktale called The Fox and the Condor that demonstrated quinoa's significance in the region. And the tale goes that the fox, the titular fox, wanted to go to the sky, so he met up with the condor, and the condor agreed, but only if the fox promised not to touch anything and to be really respectful. So the fox accepts these terms, and they make their way up to the sky. However, the fox immediately breaches their agreement, eating all the food in sight. Food that was meant for a ceremony.
Oh.
Yes. When folks arrived to find no food, they decided to send the fox back to Earth using a rope. But halfway down, this wily fox starts slinging some insults at the people. So they cut the rope, sending him plummeting to his death. His body splitting open and spilling out some quinoa, food of the gods on Earth. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. I love when you find a good folktale for these food episodes.
Yeah, especially with a tricksy fox that just is like, oh, yeah, I'll behave myself, and then eats literally everything.
Yeah, like, nope. I'm a fox. When Spanish conquistadors arrived, they made note of the local populations in the Andean area cultivating quinoa. In the 1500s, Garcilaso de la Vega described quinoa as the second grain ever cultivated on Earth. On top of that, he discussed how the alleged first shipment of quinoa seeds to Europe died on the way there, possibly due to humidity. Around the same time, others reported on the cultivation of quinoa in this region and how it was a staple there. However, foreigners often looked down on quinoa as a food for the poor, and the Spanish may have associated quinoa with indigenous ceremonies that they sought to oppress or just do away with. So, not so great attitude towards quinoa.
No. And it had been used in the area for a long time as a sustenance crop because it's a really great one, because it can substitute for or even replace animal products like meats and dairy in the diet.
and for a much lower cost of growing and processing time and effort. But yeah, so the Spanish colonizers introduced grains from Europe and encouraged their use instead of quinoa. And in a roundabout way, this did encourage the growing of quinoa in these small local pockets of land, and thus led to farmers in those areas developing their own varieties of quinoa over the centuries, which means that for a really long time, quinoa stayed biodiverse, which is a good thing.
Yes. In 1797, German botanist and pharmacist Carl Ludwig Willdenow described quinoa. But stepping back a bit to 1545, the Spanish discovered silver in Bolivia and the surrounding areas and enslaved many of the nearby indigenous peoples to work in the mines, which disrupted the cultivation of quinoa. Some quinoa growers in this area were able to keep doing what they were doing, growing their quinoa on hillside terraces. The lands were communally managed and allocated. The Spanish were officially ousted with the Bolivian National Revolution of 1952.
Oh, 1952. That is a long way away from the beginning.
Yeah.
Of that point.
Cool. Yes. And so the situation changed again when we're talking about quinoa in the following few decades, when the Cold War was in full swing and the U.S. was doing everything it could to stop communism the world over, including by providing aid, hybrid seeds, pesticides, and other farming equipment. And in this case, in Bolivia, areas that were producing quinoa.
Yeah. Meanwhile, some researchers from outside of the Andes had taken notice of quinoa starting around in 1935. And so nutritional and agricultural experiments were slowly starting to take place during this whole time.
Yes. And by the 70s, tractors reached Bolivia's quinoa growing region. And that transformed the quinoa industry. I bet you and I read the same very in-depth paper about this, which I had never really given too much thought about tractors in specific and how they can like really change an industry. But
oh yeah, absolutely.
They did. Because the tractors couldn't operate on the traditional hill terraces that quinoa had historically been grown on, quinoa cultivation had to be relocated to flat areas where llamas usually grazed. Tractors also aren't great, or at least according to this paper, for soil fertility as compared to more traditional methods, at least in this region specifically.
Yeah, yeah. Any time that you move away from traditional farming methods and into anything new, and especially mechanized, you're going to disrupt. It's going to have more disruptions than you think. Probably.
Yes.
or perhaps than you would hope.
This reminds me, have you ever read or seen The Secret of Nim?
Oh, yeah.
The Secret of Nim movie is a scary movie, and I watched it recently, and it's still scary.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
but there's
I bet.
That tractor, and it's like painted so menacingly.
Right. Oh, ooh. Gosh. I remember the book a lot better than I remember the film, but no, I remember the film being really scary.
Oh, that tractor was scary, too. It's like a beast, and it's coming. Oof. Oof. let's change topics. I'm getting the chills. So as all of this is happening, U.S. aid meant Bolivia was being flooded with American staples, which slowly surpassed Andean foods in terms of availability, traditional Andean foods. So it's kind of going, building on what Spanish conquistadors had already been doing, which is introducing these more like European grains, and then we get American staples. On top of that, in the 1980s, austerity drove a lot of farmers out, but some did continue, and they did continue to farm quinoa. In 1984, quinoa from the region was exported to the U.S. The processing was difficult, and the end product often bitter and sometimes mildly toxic. Sometimes with a rock in the mix in there. To deal with all these obstacles, a cooperative of growers came together and they traveled to Peru and Brazil studying processing equipment and figuring out how to adapt this equipment to quinoa. That same decade, farmers in Colorado started growing quinoa and saw the first signs of healthy growth of the crop. And it was sold in health food stores and spelled quinoa like how we traditionally see it, because manufacturers thought it looked nicer. I couldn't go back and find it, but I believe it had an extra vowel in there somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah. It got removed.
Huh. And yeah, you said that they were starting to grow quinoa in Colorado, and that is because Colorado State University was the leader in quinoa cultivation research outside of its native region around that time. And yeah, that started in the 1980s. And a reminder here that agricultural research is a big business. You can make a lot of money off of developing and patenting and selling different varieties of foods. And you can see our interview with Dan Pashman about that. We talk about those apples.
Those apples.
Them apples. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Moving into the 1990s, the UN helped pay for the construction of plants for quinoa in the Andean area. And the U.S. and Denmark worked to improve the efficiency of available quinoa processing technology in 2005. A lot of experiments were done around the time to increase yield and keep up with growing demand. And in 1993, an international report by NASA found that quinoa was suitable for astronauts on long-term missions. And then, yes, in the 2000s, quinoa took off in the U.S. and other Western countries as a healthy superfood. It got caught up in the desire for gluten-free options as well, and this put pressure on traditional farmers and the market at large, pushing the price of quinoa out of reach for those that had been eating it as a staple for generations.
It's a really complicated issue because it's not necessarily too expensive for all locals to eat because partially because the boom has brought money into the region, but. Yeah, the influx of outside interests have had a bunch of concerning effects, including a westernization of local diets, which, includes fewer traditional foods and thus less quinoa. But it does have to be considered as, like, part of larger trends. And also, you know, like as much as like, an American diet is not something that I would recommend nutritionally people start copying, like, I think it's a little bit, like, paternalistic and gross to be like, oh, we're ruining the world with Doritos, like we are. But, like, I'm also not going to tell anyone to not eat Doritos. They're delicious. Like, you know,
right.
Like, and mm-hmm. if someone can afford Doritos, I want them to have them if they want them.
Right.
There are other complications. As with most agriculture, when you start trying to mass produce a crop, you wind up selecting fewer varieties of a plant to grow on that larger scale, thus reducing biodiversity, thus making those crops that you're growing more susceptible to any given disease or pest outbreak, which in turn tends to encourage greater use of potentially harmful pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, fertilizers, stuff like that. On top of all of that, there are other environmental concerns, like potential need for irrigation infrastructure in places that didn't previously need it. And right, the introduction of mechanized farming equipment and the reallocation of land away from other uses that previously housed whole ecosystems. In the case of quinoa, this also ties into llama farming. Llama manure has traditionally been used as a fertilizer in many areas for quinoa. But this increasing acreage going to quinoa means less grazing land, which means fewer llamas, which means less manure for a growing amount of quinoa crops. Also, sacks woven from llama wool have traditionally been used in post-harvest production and shipping. And so how are those resources going to be replaced? Can all of this be environmentally sustainable? And won't anyone think of the llamas?
Think of the llamas.
Always think of the llamas.
Yes. Always think of the llamas.
Yes. And there have also been both intra and international conflicts over land and exports. And it's a really, it was such a boom.
Yeah.
And it's created so many sticky issues.
Yeah, and it's really hard to untangle any one thing because they all impact and touch each other.
Yeah, yeah. And
these threads.
And from and also like from an outside perspective, it's really, you know, like it's really hard to say. Like I would like yeah. like in an ideal world, we would be in Bolivia right now talking with mm-hmm. a producer about all of this, you know, and getting that kind of input. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, us sitting here in Atlanta, there's a limited amount that we can really say about right. what it all means.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Well, the UN declared 2013 the International Year of Quinoa, mm-hmm. partially because it grows in a variety of conditions. It's low maintenance, and wheat, which is a staple around the world, is under threat. However, like so much we talk about, climate change has impacted quinoa production as well.
It has. It has. That declaration was also a little bit about some contemporary research and publication about how global diets need to start shifting away from as much meat consumption as we do and finding mm-hmm. these alternate sources of protein, which is great, which is a great goal. But yeah, complicated. In 2014, Bolivian officials, spurred by local producers who were angry about cheaper quinoa being imported and mixed in with their more sustainably produced expensive quinoa, then going for export. Local producers were mad about this. And in response, this Bolivian authority seized 23 metric tons of quinoa at the border and burned it as a media stunt to show their support for their local farmers.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's a lot of quinoa.
That was
flames.
A lot of quinoa. Yep. In 2015 alone, 20 new countries tried growing quinoa for the first time, adding themselves to, yes, the list of 75 countries already growing it. And in May of 2020, Andean quinoa producers won this anti-patent campaign that they had been conducting for years against Colorado State University. Basically, what happened here is that CSU had patented this hybridization method that specifically named 44 quinoa varieties traditionally grown across the Andes, and that CSU's researchers had gone to there and collected in order to work with. And so the producers there were like, you can't, please don't copyright what we've spent generations and generations developing.
Right.
Because we, that's ours.
Right.
We made it.
Yeah.
And then, it's considered a really big win. And yeah. But yeah, I've
oof. That's the second patent in two episodes we've talked about that got
that got
overturned,
crushed.
Rejected. Yeah. Dippin' Dots and quinoa.
Who knew?
Good to keep in mind. Can't just get a patent willy-nilly.
You can't.
No. But yeah, that's what we have to say about quinoa. And it is really fascinating. If you want to go and, like Lauren said, there's a lot of great research out there mm-hmm. about this. And it's pretty new and like kind of still, we're still figuring out what it all means. So.
Yeah. And yeah, it just intersects with so many of these issues of globalization and commercialization that we talk about sometimes and that affect the entire food supply chain. And yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, we do have some listener mail for you.
We do. But first, we've got one more quick break for a word from our sponsor. Mm-hmm.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks. But I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this.
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with Listener Mail. It's all around the world. And then it was the ups and downs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I don't really... I want to see this quinoa sprout thing because I don't have a good visual for how quinoa grows, but I had to compromise. I had to make some artistic compromises myself for that one.
That's okay. That's all right. That's okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, if you have some quinoa in that danger cupboard,
my danger cupboard. I mean, that's honestly one of the reasons I don't get quinoa anymore. I don't get anything anymore because my cupboard is a nightmare. That's perhaps a sign I should change some things.
I think so.
You know what's going to happen? If I try to open that bag of koozies, it's going to be like...
Oh, it's over. Yeah.
Yeah. Koozies fly all over the place.
Yeah. It's going to rapidly...
Done this to myself.
I'm picturing this rapid expansion of koozies similar to like the Big Bang, like just filling your entire apartment.
It'll be like a case study, a scientific case study. what happens when you put like 100 koozies in a lunchbox that's really not meant to hold 100 koozies. I guess we'll find out one day. But not today.
Not today.
Not today. Brian wrote, I recently listened to your recent episode on corn dogs, and like you guys, I am also not a fan of corn dogs. Corn dogs are also not that popular where I'm from in Canada. However, I am a huge fan of hot dogs. I also think hot dogs are delicious with ketchup and Dijon mustard. They're also extremely popular at Canadian malls called New York Fries. They have the world's most delicious fries, hot dog poutine. And I know I'm pretty sure it's poutine, but I always say poutine.
Yeah.
When I go to my local mall, I get a hot dog and I always have it with an orange Julius. That is such a mall experience.
Yes.
Continued, I am looking forward to returning to this restaurant now that I am fully vaccinated. I've also attached some pictures of my Star Wars celebration from this year. And I also think you guys should do an episode on the food of Downton Abbey. I love the show and the feast on it are amazing.
Ooh, yeah.
That would be fun.
Yeah. Oh, I never finished that series because I got depressed.
Yeah. I didn't finish it either because I feel like there was a rush, a whirlwind rush of like, all my friends, you've got to watch it. And then I did and I liked it. But then there was a break in the seasons and I just never came back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I know there's a movie and everything, but I would love to do, I bet that would be really interesting because there's some historical bits.
Oh, absolutely.
Involved with that too.
Yeah, yeah. Some pretty like keystone moments, sure.
Yes. And also, yeah, hot dogs, poutine sounds really good.
Oh, right? Oh no. I've never dared to dream about putting a hot dog in a poutine situation. But we
gotta open our minds. We limited ourselves in this area.
Gosh.
Shoot for the stars.
Jessica wrote, I just wanted to say that I loved your show on corn dogs, which is one of my favorite foods. I'm an Oregon native and just made a trip 2 weeks ago to Rockaway Beach and visited the Pronto Pub there. I have been a few times and it's always a delicious meal. The restaurant has a huge Pronto Pub on the roof and a mechanical Pronto Pub with a real saddle out front.
And Jessica sent a picture and it's just as glorious as you can imagine. I love that. Sounds so fun.
Goodness.
Yes. Well, thanks to both of those listeners for writing. If you would like to write to us, you can, and we would love to hear from you. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We are also on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram @SaverPod, and we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel. Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico is home to a thriving culinary scene based on products and traditions from the native Taíno, African, and Spanish peoples that have influenced it.
When you go, there are a host of restaurants, bars, breweries, distilleries, farms, and coffee houses to dig into, from five-star experiences to local favorites.
No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.